Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Line drive, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Mucciola ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Trent Brower. The former Blackhawk has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano broadcasting live from the Hot Shots in Fenton. This is the toy drive day. Friends of kids with cancer looking for toys for the holiday season. We're going to be broadcasting here till, Jim, is it 3 o'clock? 1 o'clock today. So come on by with a gift, and it will go to good use. We have a good program lined up for you today. Chris Kerber live from Vancouver at 10:20, Mike Claiborne at 10:30, Martin at 11. And then in honor of the Bragging Rights game, we're going to bring in a couple of Mizzou greats, Brian Grauer, Julian Winfield, to talk about the Bragging Rights game and their great careers at the University of Missouri. Our opening monologue is brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park, and let's begin with lap one. So how could a game between the Billikens and North Carolina Central be interesting? I mean, they were 4-8. They were a 20-point underdog. But, you know, nobody gave the Eagles the script. So instead, they try to win the game. The nerve of them. They led by 11 points in the second half. And then the Billikens went on the most beautiful run of the season. It was 30-4. They scored 28 points in a 9-minute spurt. Two signature bookend plays to start and end the spurt. Were you watching last night on Fox Sports Midwest? Danny Mack and Scott Highmark were really fired up, and I'm sure Bob Ramsey was going absolutely crazy. So it started with a Jordan Goodwin steal, and then Hassan French with a tomahawk dunk. And then to end it, well, French had this block, and he just said, get the weak stuff out of here. Best picked it up, and then Jordan hit a layup. It was unbelievable. Javon Best had 19 points. Jordan Goodwin had 16 points and 6 steals. Let's hear from Travis Ford after the game last night.
We look like a team for 30 minutes that has been in finals for a week and a half. And it was in a battle 3 days ago, physical, mental battle. And that's excuses, but that's what we looked like for 30 minutes. I don't think there's any question our press turned the game around. A lot of times it's not necessarily, yes, it's the turnovers, but it got our team, it forced us to play hard. It forced us to play with a sense of urgency and a sense of desperation. And when we started playing desperate, and I say this a lot, it's not a bad thing to be desperate sometimes. Then good things happen for our team, because if we don't do that, we're an average basketball team.
Yeah. All right, lap two. Mizzou football recruiting. Here's the interesting thing, is that they have this class, which by most accounts is ranked anywhere between 31 and 35, which is good. And keep in mind, that doesn't take into account the grad transfers and the JUCO transfers and the regular transfers. And as we know with Mizzou, particularly with Kelly Bryant, they did extremely well in that regard. That's the really good news. The bad news is, Jim, have you seen this? In the SEC, Missouri's recruiting, which we're all gushing about,
yes,
is ranked 13th out of 14th.
Yeah, those things are always off, but that's where Missouri is.
Yeah.
They're always in the back half. They're always around mid-30s.
overall. So you go, it's the same class that Pinko always got for the most part.
So is it a testament to Barry Odom's coaching if, you know, he's had two not great recruiting classes before this year, and then, of course, Gary Pinkel struggled at the end of his recruiting? What does it say about Barry Odom's coaching if he has these classes that are not highly, highly regarded, and he could have a team that's going to win nine games and finish in the top 25?
It tells you he's along the same lines as Gary Pinkel, for sure. I mean, that's what Pinkel did. He coached up the three stars. It kind of looks like that's where Barry's headed right now. He's coaching up the kids. And not to mention, as you've pointed out, the grad transfers that he just picked up were huge, and they're not included in this class. In reality, they probably should, because they are part of the new group coming in. So you got to, if you're a Missouri fan, or if you want to even talk reality, you have to include those three gets as part of this recruiting class.
Good point. So Missouri got five in the area. They should end up with six, depending on Ferguson from Kirkwood. But I want to give a shout-out to Jack Buford from Lutheran North. He's the 330-pound offensive guard. His father, Tony, terrific athlete in high school and college. And he was the first St. Louis kid in a two-year period, you know, because they had that two-year drought, that said, I'm going to Mizzou. He did that in the summer. And I asked him about Barry Odom, and he said, he's just a real dude. It's just a good feeling when I talk with him. So congratulations to Jack Buford signing that scholarship, the other Missouri signees. Illinois did well, too. They got Isaiah Williams, who may be the most electric athlete in the class. All right, lap three. So all week we've been giving you our all-time teams, and it's generated some pretty good interest on the text lines. Today, though, is going to be the most difficult because it's the all-time soccer team. Now, I know some of these names, but believe me, I consulted quite a bit with Mr. Soccer, Bill McDermott. So, soccer fans, the all-time St. Louis soccer team. Our forwards, Taylor Twellman, Mike Seary, Dan Counts, Carl Gentile, who's one of the greatest athletes we've ever had. Midfielders, Al Trost, Pat McBride, and Brad Davis. Who could argue with that? Two National Hall of Famers, and Brad Davis was special too. The backs, Harry Keough, Dan Cesaria, and Bobby Keough. The goalie, Frank Borgi. The coach, Harry Keough. Reasoning, Brian McBride is not on the list. He went to SLU, but this is an all St. Louis born and raised soccer team. Josh Sargent, kind of like Jason Tatum in basketball on my list, will probably be on this list one day, but it's just too soon. Frank Borgi is the goaltender. Well, anytime you shut out England in one of the greatest upsets, not just in soccer history, but in sports history, you belong. Keough is on the list twice because he played in that 1950 upset over England in the World Cup and later led SLU in their greatest soccer era. How about this? When Harry Keough was the coach at SLU, they won 45 consecutive games. It's like John Wood. All right. Lap five. Speaking of list, now each year for the last 25 years, we've come out with our list of the 10 most intriguing St. Louis sports figures of the year. Now, mind you, this is not necessarily the best, but it's the most intriguing. And we begin with number 10, Travis Ford. The Billiken coach has finally assembled an NCAA tournament roster. The recruiting has been stellar. Now it's time to play basketball and march for SLU. Number 9, Miles Michaelis. How in the world did a guy with four career major league wins turn into the ace of the staff and an all-star? Does he have an act two in him? Number 8, Ryan O'Reilly. In a strangely sad season, O'Reilly is the aberration. Their hardest worker, their best player. Think about this. Where would the Blues be without Ryan O'Reilly? Number 7, Konzo Martin. You know, think about this. Konzo believed that he was going to be getting 3 years of the Porters, one with Michael and two with Jonte. It's likely he's only going to get one, the 1 year of Jonte last year. I don't think Jonte's coming back. I may be wrong. But Konzo Martin, despite all of this, did take the Tigers to the tourney and is off to a pretty good start. Number 6, Mike Schilt. Not charismatic or dynamic, just strategic and genuine. He went 12 games over 500. Now it's time for the postseason. Number five is Drew Locke. He went from being one of the most second-guessed athletes in the region to finishing his career as one of the most prolific passers in SEC history and likely a first-round draft pick. Number four, Jason Tatum. The Chaminade grad went from just a very good rookie to a dominant go-to guy on a team that could win the NBA Finals and almost got to the NBA Finals last year and almost beat LeBron. Number three on the list, it's going to be our friend Curtis Francois at Gateway Motorsports Park. You got to remember, this track was basically called dead to the world about 6 or 7 years ago. So what happens now? They have one of the better sporting events in the St. Louis area with the Bomarito 500. Over 40,000 on hand. It was spectacular. All right. Number two is Ozzie Smith. Yes, we have to do something about the PGA Championship. And if you throw in the fact what Ozzie Smith did to bring this sporting event to St. Louis by, you know, setting up golf in the inner cities, setting up a program where veterans can play, where kids in the inner city can play, that was the deal breaker in making this PGA Championship come to St. Louis. So Ozzie Smith, the great baseball player, is number two on the list. And number one on our list is Carolyn Kendall Betts. You know, the last time we had a female owner in St. Louis professional sports, well, it worked out pretty well. Georgia Frontier brought us a Super Bowl. And now Carolyn Kendall Betts could bring us the MLS and another team to really get excited about. Finally, lap six. Gateway Motorsports Park opening monologue. As you know, I tend to be a shill. And I don't know why, but after I watched that abomination of hockey on Sunday, I don't know how I can say this, but I think the Blues are going to win their second game in a row. And I think the Blues are going to go on a pretty decent stretch right now. Think about this for just a moment. As bad as the Blues are, if they win tonight, it'll be 5 victories in their last 7 games. Jake Allen has a .915 save percentage in his last 15. I think they're going to win tonight. Vancouver's not a power. And the Blues have a couple of things going for them right now. Vladimir Tarasenko scores in bunches. He scored the other night at Edmonton. I bet he scores tonight in Vancouver. It ended a 7-game goalless streak for Tarasenko. Can he stay hot tonight? We'll find out very shortly. And I love this one stat, too. And I have no idea if this is a great barometer or not. Okay, I'm not a hockey head. I just think that shots allowed is a pretty big stat. And 23 shots on Tuesday, including just 6 in the third period, is pretty impressive. That's almost like Ken Hitchcock hockey. So I think they're starting to figure it out a little bit on shots allowed. Tarasenko maybe starting to get hot. Bottom line is, in the middle of this really brutal season, we have a hockey team that couldn't make it 5 out of 7. Isn't that kind of weird, Jim?
It is interesting the way you put that, because if you throw in the 2 games where they just didn't show up on Sundays, you don't get that same feel. But if you take those 2 out, this group is playing much better. I like your stat there with shots allowed, because it was open season, as Doug Armstrong said in the press conference when they let go Mike Yeo on the goalie. And it's gotten better. I hope they can put back-to-back games together tonight. It would be nice. Here's another thought. With this, if they do continue to play well, they're doing it without their absolute number one defenseman right now, and Petro. And if they can continue to limit shots without Petro, that tells you they're doing things better defensively for sure as a group.
We'll talk some more hockey with Chris Kerber in just a moment, but I do want to tell you about Maryville University. Maryville University students receive an extraordinary level of academic, personal, and career support beginning with their first steps in transition from high school to college. Go to maryville.edu for more information about that terrific school. And I also want to tell you about our title sponsor, Hollywood Casino. If you are looking for a place to maybe spend a little bit of time during the holiday season, maybe get a room, we recommend a trip to Hollywood Casino very shortly. Hollywood Casino will house the best hockey facility our area has ever known. 3 indoor sheets of ice, 1 outdoor. It's going to be something else. And the great thing about it is kids 8 years old will be playing hockey in there, and the Blues will be practicing in there also. Speaking of the Blues, let's head to Vancouver right now. Getting up for us early today, the voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber. Chris, thanks for waking up. How are you today, sir?
All good, Frank. Looking for a good one tonight here in Vancouver.
Chris, you know, it's hard to believe in the middle of this kind of disappointing season, you win tonight. It's 5 out of 7. You're starting to see the Blues getting their mojo. They've had some clunkers in there, but 5 out of 7 would be serious business.
Yeah, when we talked last time, we were talking about some of the little things that are trending game-wise in the right direction. That's right. If you can get the victory tonight, you've won 5 out of 7, and you'll have pulled yourself to within 1 game above below 500 before the Christmas break. And you've got 50 games to go here. You know, you're within it's still a hill to climb, but, yeah, you're trending in the right direction. And Craig Berube's pretty happy with some of the progress that he's seen in terms of the overall team game.
Give us your thought on that shots allowed stat, only 23 the other night, and particularly 6 in the third period. What are they doing right in regards to that?
Well, you know what they've been doing in the games that they've been winning, Frank, they have been defending well in front of the net. And in the games when they're not winning, they're not defending well in front of the net. It's plain and simple. Go back to the Calgary game, and Matthew Tkachuk, all alone in front of the net, had time to find a puck, turn, face the net, go backhand, forehand, and put it in before he was touched. Last game, there was battle in front of the net. Guys had the Edmonton Oilers had a hard time getting to the front of the net, and then the Blues defensemen were there to clear it out. So a little bit of a change. I wouldn't say a system change, but maybe just how they're defending in their own zone has been a big difference in these games, where if Jake and when Jake makes that first save, they're clearing the rebound. The other thing that's happened, especially in that last game, I mean, the Edmonton Oilers on their first 2 power plays, first, I think, had 2 shots on goal. To hold those guys off the board the way they did without getting the pucks on net when they're on the penalty kill is enormous.
I know Petro has been skating. Gut feel, do you think he plays tonight?
No, I don't think they play before Christmas. I was told, I was told that because of long-term IR, they can't play until after Christmas.
All right, Vladimir Tarasenko tends to score in bunches. He tends to have these streaks where he's scoreless for a while. You saw a goal the other night. What are you seeing with Vladimir Tarasenko?
Well, hopefully that one felt good. I mean, he had gone 7 games without a point. He had the intent to shoot. He was shooting the puck quicker. He had a one-timer even in the mix there. And the thing for Vladimir Tarasenko is his game has gotten very predictable for people to defend. So Craig Berube is really emphasizing 2 things to him. 1, shoot the puck quicker. Don't dust it off. Get it off your stick quicker so the goalie doesn't have time to adjust. The other thing that he's really kind of harping to Vladimir on is the compete level. And, you know, sometimes skilled guys can get very frustrated, Frank, when things aren't going their way. And unfortunately, so that means Vladimir might peel to the bench and go for a change 20 seconds into a shift. Whereas the break on that play may happen 57 seconds into the shift. Or he can get frustrated very easily with a game, and then the rest of his game goes south, whereas that 1 goal that you need him to score gets scored in the 53rd minute. That's what Craig Berube is harping on Vladimir Tarasenko on. And if Vladimir really starts to do that and puts that will before skill, if you'll excuse that phrase, again, he'll start scoring some more goals, and they need him. The positive side was that line looked really good. That line looked energized with Shen and Schwartz back together with him. And so hopefully that's another big difference tonight, because as Shen had the 3 points, Schwartz had a point, Tarasenko had the goal. They need a line to become potent, and that's the one that can.
I think we're all in agreement that Ryan O'Reilly has been their best player. Is it possible that David Perron has been their second most consistent player?
You know what? I don't know. No, I wouldn't say most consistent. Honestly, believe it or not, if I'm going to go to that, I'm going to go to Oscar Sundquist in terms of most consistent, in terms of what you're getting. But David Perron is somewhat, and I don't want to say quietly, but, yeah, all of a sudden he has those 11 goals, but he's been a little streaky. David Perron's been good, but David Perron has got to stop taking the offensive zone penalties. And he's had 9 offensive zone penalties on himself this year. You know, and they're just, they haven't been good penalties. Now, albeit in that last game, the referee should have, that should have been an equalizer, you know, because David Perron was getting, you know, knocked around as much as he was giving it. So that one might not be completely fair, but it's still an offensive zone penalty and something that's taken too many of. So when there's something about David Perron that you've seen since his rookie year, Frank. When his game is on, he wins the puck battles like he won that last game. When his game is on, he'll go into the corner, have 2 guys from the opposition on him, and it's still Perron coming away with the puck. And we've seen a good amount of that this year, and it's been positive. But I think there's more consistency that they could expect from him.
Before we let you go, I've been told to ask you this. Joey Vitale explaining what Barkley the dog did to Shen's stick. What happened?
Well, you know, you remember the video that was up on the board a couple days ago, and a TMZ picked it up when Barkley, the dog, was on the ice?
Oh, yeah.
Well, on the air, Joey just described it using certain words that were very innocent but could go the other way, and it caused one heck of a laughter that we had to get control in about 2 minutes on. Let me put it to you, hey, Frank. I will send you the clip off the air.
All right, I'd love to see it. Hey, Merry Christmas. Thanks for waking up early. We'll be listening tonight late. Thank you, sir.
Merry Christmas to you and everybody, Frank, too. Good talking with you, and stay safe back there. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Chris Kerber is brought to us by Petromart. Petromart is a locally owned and operated family business that's been serving the St. Louis area for over 30 years. Each location is just as clean, fast, and friendly as the next, with 50 locations to serve you. In a hurry, Petromart offers a wide selection of grab-and-go food items like hot-and-ready pizza or fresh fruit salads. Petromart has something for everybody, and it's always prepared fresh and available around the clock. Petromart, a proud supplier of Phillips 66 gasoline and a proud sponsor of the St. Louis Blues. We'll take a short time out. When we come back, we'll be joined by Mike Claiborne.